We're also familiar with the story from St. Luke's Gospel about the birth of Jesus, how there was a decree coming up from the Roman Emperor for a census of the empire, and so the governor of Syria and Palestine called all the people to their home country, their hometowns, to be counted for the census, and so Joseph, being a descendant of King David, takes his wife Mary, who is with child, and they go down to Bethlehem, where Jesus is going to be born, fulfilling the prophecy of Micah, "O thou Bethlehem, or by no means least among the cities of Judah, for from you shall come a shepherd to shepherd my people Israel," and that would be Christ himself. It's no accident that the shepherds are the first ones to come and worship the newborn Christ after the angels heralded his coming, singing glory to God in the highest and peace to his people on earth. And a light appeared in the heavens. Not just a supernova, but a great sign from God himself to let the world know that a light for the nations has come. The darkness would not be dispelled by the light of truth to be found in Jesus Christ. Jesus said of himself in Matthew's Gospel, "Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For amen, I say to you, many prophets and just men have longed to see what you see, and they did not see it, and to hear what you hear, and did not hear it." Of those prophets, we have Isaiah, who writes of the coming Messiah, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Upon those who dwelt in the land of gloom, a light has shone. You have brought them abundant joy and great rejoicing. For a child is born to us, a son is given us. Upon his shoulder dominion rests. They name him Wonder Counselor, the Mighty God, Father Forever, Prince of Peace. His dominion is vast and forever peaceful, which he confirms and sustains by judgment and justice, both now and forever." These are beautiful words, powerful words indeed, that awaken us to the glory of God. But what exactly does it mean? What's it all for? St. Paul expresses those sentiments, describing the coming of Christ to Titus in his letter when he says, "The grace of God has appeared, saving all and training us to reject godless ways and worldly desires and to live temperately, justly, and devoutly in this age as we await the second coming, the blessed hope, the appearance of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Christ who gave himself for us to deliver us from all lawlessness and to cleanse for himself a people as his own, eager to do what is good." Brothers and sisters, the darkness and the land of gloom that Isaiah spoke of is a world of ignorance of truth and love of God. A world that lacks knowledge of the truth and knowledge of the dignity of the human person. A world that has contempt or even disregard for human life and the quest for self-assertance, that is, for self-preservation, for domination and control. A world of no faith, of no love, and thus no hope. This was the Gentile or the pagan world which surrounded the Jewish world into which Jesus himself was born. Salvation began with the Jewish people but finds its fullness of revelation in Christ Jesus, who brings to perfection all that God started through Moses for his people. Sadly, I think it's a world that you and I are going to see again if human beings continue going the way that we do and keep squeezing God and the Christian faith out of it. We have benefited from 2,000 years of Judeo-Christian teaching and influence that has helped us to understand that there is only one God, that this God is love, that this God loves us, and he made us in his own divine image, to love and serve him, to love and serve one another. He endowed us with rational minds to be able to elevate our minds to great thoughts and ideas and discoveries. He gave us the ability to think abstractly, to assist us in those. He gives us free will to choose good over evil, and also enables us to control our thoughts and actions, and to love one another, and to do good for one another. We've been taught to follow his laws and commands as he revealed through Moses, and as St. John told us in the Gospel, those same laws have been brought to a greater meaning through Christ Jesus, as Jesus adds to the commandments the power of sanctifying grace. Jesus taught us to love and to worship God the Father in spirit and in truth, and to realize that we are not God, but that all things come to us through God's mercy, His providence, and His permission for our own benefit. We're to believe in only one eternal and objective truth. And Jesus says, I am that truth. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father, Jesus says, except through me. We're not to believe our own personal, what we think are individual truths. And people say that today. Well, that's my truth. That's not truth at all. There's only one. That is Christ. We're to give honor and obedience to those that He has set over us and guide us into living His truth, be they parents or clergy, even civil authorities who must enact laws based on His to establish peace. We are to love, to cherish, and support and sustain human life from conception until natural death, and also work with our hands, with the abilities that God gave us, doing all things in the name of the Lord to supply our own needs and to do good for those who can't do for themselves, but never to steal or rob, lust or plunder. As Christians, we're here to build up, never to destroy, building a civilization of love and life. Christ Jesus taught us to control our passions and never give way to harshness, to anger, or to lust. He taught us to respect marriage and family as designed by the Creator for the good of man and woman, who are bound in that unitive and procreative love, and in that love bring forth children whom they raise and educate in the ways of goodness and faith. All these things I just mentioned, all these things, our ancestors did after receiving the gospel of Jesus Christ centuries ago. Our forefathers received this gospel from sainted missionaries, a great light that was given to them by those missionaries and saints of times past, who gave them to our ancestors, and in turn our ancestors have passed those ideals, that truth, that faith down to us until today. A light of truth, a light of faith, a light of morality, justice, and order that has given us abundant joy and peace. But now we've come to a crossroads in civilization. And I beg you, may we never, ever allow that light, the light of faith in Christ, to be extinguished, or that peace forfeited by our abandonment of God, our abandonment of His commands, our abandonment of His church. Our world is out of control today. I think we all agree with that. And it's out of control because people are out of control, including many who call themselves Christians. But it can't be that way, nor should it be that way. It doesn't have to be that way. Keep in mind, brothers and sisters, what we celebrate today, that Christ Jesus was the one of the Spirit who became a man of the flesh, so that we, the ones of the flesh, could become men and women of the Spirit, that is, the Holy Spirit of God. We're advised by St. Paul to do away with the works of the flesh that keep us from truth, that keep us from living in Christ, and to live in the light of holiness and grace. Above all things, be people of prayer. Pray. Pray daily. Pray hourly. Pray at every moment, always offering up everything to God. Confess your sins humbly. Receive God's grace. Receive Christ's body and blood in the Eucharist. Live in honor. Live in virtue. Live in faith what we see in Christ Jesus Himself. The Christian must be awake, not woke. There's a big difference. The Christian is awakened by the light of everlasting life through Christ. Those who are woke live in the sleep of death and think that they are alive. As Christians, we must always speak out of what was from the beginning, what we have heard, and what we have looked upon with our own eyes, as St. John tells us, the Word of life, who was with the Father before all ages and has appeared to us on this day, the day of His birth, Christmas Day. We must proclaim every part of our lives and every fiber of our being Him who is wonderful, who is the mighty God, who is the Prince of Peace, whose dominion is vast and forever peaceful, who sustains us with justice and mercy, Him who is God, both now and forever. Amen.